Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
And their calling and their gifting. Like God's gifted you for something and you actually enjoy it, you take pleasure in it, you nail it. And there's nothing wrong with just smiling about it, just enjoying what the Lord has called you to do. So I like watching the pleasure of Kathy. Anybody remember the movie Chariots of Fire? And Eric Liddell, was that his name? Little? He says, you know, there was a challenge that he ought to be a missionary to China. And he says, I will go there. And he says, but I know how God made me. And God made me fast. And he said, when I run, I feel the Lord's pleasure. I see that in Kathy. It's like she could be a missionary. She could do other things. But I know how God made me. And he made me in a musical way. And whenever I direct music, I feel his pleasure. I could just feel the pleasure of the Lord kind of peeking through your face today. Whoa, that was loud. All right. Hot mic. I love our family. I love our church family here. We got a good spiritual family. Whether you believe it or not, it's good. God's just got a soft heart in me right now, and it's just loving who we are, right where we are. And all of our awesomeness, and all of our weirdness, and all of our failures, and all of our shortcomings, who we are right here. God just takes pleasure in this, what we're doing right now. He loves it. And it's just fun to kind of whenever our hearts and our emotions match his. It's good. It's good stuff. I want to spend some time the next few weeks in the first three chapters of the Bible and kind of walk through creation and see how in theology there's this thing. It just kind of helps as far as a framework of reading scripture, but it's called the law of first mention. And the law of first mention simply means that you can reflect on things later in scripture based upon how they first were presented in scripture, and we can derive its meaning from there. So we go to Genesis chapter 1. If you're with me in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1 is on page 1. Yeah, you shouldn't have a hard time following it this morning. But what if I told you this? What if I told you that as you flip to Genesis chapter 1, that Genesis 1 is not the first act of the story? What if I told you that Genesis 1 was actually the third act of the story? Because in John chapter 1 is where we see the beginning. John 1 says, in the beginning was God. And we need to pause right there, because that in and of itself is its own entire act. That would be an amazing story. God the Father interacting with his Son, Jesus Christ, and the passion that they have for one another. Mere image reflection and the energy that they create over just gazing upon their own glory and reflection is almost like this entire spiritual realm, like the Holy Spirit. And the triune God, the three in one, are all together. The beginning was God in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, in the fullness of his Son, and the fullness of God the Father, and all of his omnipresence and his all-knowing and his and who this God is act one. And in John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And I would like to also tell you that Act 2, we see, is that God is sacrificed. in Revelations, it says that the Lamb of God was sacrificed even before the foundations of the world. And there's this great spiritual warfare that takes place in the heavenlies. And it says in Revelations, and in Revelations chapter 12, it says that there was this great falling away, and God casts one-third of the angels out of heaven and cast them down to the lower realms, which we're going to read where those lower realms were in just a minute. That there was this spiritual warfare that was going on, this epic battle between the angel that was Lucifer, that got cast down and became Satan here on the earth, that God was on his throne. And the first act of the story is there is this God who is all-powerful. The second act is there's this falling away, and he casts them out in this spiritual warfare thing. And he says in order to redeem all things, which eventually he would create the redemption of all mankind and the redemption of creation. By the way, in John 3:16, the most quoted scripture in all of the Bible, it says that God so loved the world. That word world means cosmos. For God so loved all of his creation that he sent his son, right? So even before time began, he's thinking, how do I redeem this thing? And the lamb is slain in Act 2. Let's go to Act 3, which is Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1 of the story, I just want to read the first couple verses. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. As a kid, on our television, we just got a handful of stations. We got channel 29, we got channel 23, channel 59, right? That's Fox, NBC, I don't know what they were. I think one of them became UPN or something like that. That's when Dawson Creek was coming in hot. And then we had channel 40. Channel 40 was that PBS station, right? Y'all remember that? Out of Indianapolis. And so in our black and white television screen, we had the antennas that would come out. And on the antennas, we would put the aluminum foil, right? And we were masters at the aluminum foil. And just getting it to bend right, and you got to point it at a certain window, and one of them goes one way. But nope, maybe sometimes they go the opposite way. You just never know. And the vice grips were always on the ready so that we could turn the channel because all the knobs had fallen off, right? So we get the vice grips ready, and they just usually just hung there as we're clamped down so that we can turn the channel. And so actually what we would call it is churn the channel. You got to churn the channel, right? And so once we would churn the channel and the channel had been churned, we turned it to channel 40. And on channel 40, every so often, I would peek in on the wild man, Bob Ross. Anybody remember this guy? I'm jealous of this guy, not because of his painting skills, just because of his hair. It's amazing. I would trade him in a minute. I could do amazing stuff with that hair. But one of the things that was helpful with Bob Ross is as he would begin to paint, there is zero structure to this thing. No form. He is just all over the place and all this sort of stuff. One of my favorite Bob Ross quotes is, "We don't make mistakes, only happy accidents." He made happy accidents all of the time. Oh, well, we'll just make that into a tree, right? And he would just be all over the place with this sort of a thing. And before long, he has created this beautiful world, this unbelievable formed and fashioned thing that just seemed like it was formless and empty. He brought purpose and meaning to it. This early passage of scripture in Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you what it looks like. The Bible originally was written in Hebrew. And the original scriptures that were translated from Hebrew, the first translation was into Greek. And so we have these early Hebrew and Greek words, but I want to show you what it looks like, this early passage of scripture in Hebrew. Everybody understand now? Does that make more sense? Y'all know what I'm talking about now. This is the passage of Scripture in Hebrews. And in Hebrew, but in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, here's what the better translation of this Scripture would be is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was tohu vavohu. Can you all say that with me? Tohu vavohu. Nicely done. Tohu vavohu. Now y'all can say that you're bilingual. You know a little bit of Hebrew. Tohu vavohu simply means formless and void. Formless and void. Or the vohu means formless, and another word is bohu, means empty or void. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and they were formless. It was empty. It was void. Then we come into verse 3, and it says, the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth, and he began to form it. He began to Bob Ross this thing, and it began to, what looked like it was just a mess, brought form, and he filled the emptiness with purpose. I want to show you how I think so much of the rest of Scripture could reflect right back to a couple of these early verses. Tohu vavohu is formless and empty and void. And we see here in the Bible this early kind of thought that God is not only a creator, God is an orderer. He brings order. He brings structure. He begins to bring form, and the form takes on a function. How many of y'all know function follows form? And so the more that you're formed in a way, the function will flow. We see some purpose here in this, and as we continue to go on in verse 2, it says, the Holy Spirit, he hovered over the surface of the deep, right? He's hovering here. Also, this word hovering, let's hang here for a minute. On this word hovering, there's two kind of meanings. One of them is a hovering as a mother does with a heart full of compassion. How a mom would come in and kind of look, and the Holy Spirit being kind of a mama of compassion over just the destruction that is here, that is going on. The other one is also like a general, this is the masculine version, a general that would walk in after a war had taken place, and he takes inventory of his men after a battle. So the Holy Spirit's hovering, his heart is aching, and yet realizing we've just been at war. Whew. Y'all realize the serpent was already in the garden, right? Serpent was already there. Serpent had been cast out of heaven. He's already here on the earth. The Holy Spirit is looking at this warfare. And then we move in to the creation story. So let's check this out. In verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light. And he created the light for the day and the light for the night, the sun for the day, the moon and the stars for the night. And then look at the end of it. It says, and there was night and there was day. Do y'all see the end of that scripture? There was night and there was day. Order. There's time frames. I know for me, whenever my life gets out of order, it's because I'm not stewarding my time well. My days run into my nights, which runs into my weeks, which runs into a whole nother year. And you're like, where did that year go, right? And he begins to set up some banks for the river. Here, this is a day, and this is a night. And then he ends it with, that was night, and that is day. We go on to day 2. And he says that there would be an expanse of the waters, and this is verse 6, and to separate the waters from the sky and the earth, and he calls it sky and this firmament, and he begins to bring separation, and he creates the sky. And then it goes on, and it says at the end of that, it says, and there was night and there was day. Then he goes on and he says there's a third day, and he creates the land. He separates and tells the waters where they should stop, and then he creates land. There's one day, there's 2 days, and then there's 3 days. I want to tell you this, that day 1 through 3 are in direct correspondence with day 4 through 6. 1 and 4 go together, 2 and 5 go together, and 3 and 6 go together. It's form and function. So day one, he creates, check this out, he creates the light and the darkness, right? He creates the days. And then he puts purpose into what he creates and forms. So let's check out day four. Let there be light that expands in the sky. This is verse 14. To separate the day from the night, let them serve as signs to mark the seasons. Now it's not just that there's light and darkness. Now he's going to put even more purpose. Now there's going to be seasons and the rotation of the sun and how it moves around. And it's going to mark seasons. It's going to mark days. It's going to mark years. And let them be lights that expand through the sky and the light of the earth. And so God made two great lights. The greater of the light governed the day as the sun. The lesser of the light governed the night, which was the moon. And he made the stars. God set them into order and gave them purpose. And then look at the end of the fourth day. He says there was a night and there was a day. We move on to day five, which is correspondent with day two. It says in day two, he creates the sky. Now, day five, he puts purpose in the sky. He creates the birds of the air, and they're released into the sky, and now they're moving about, and there's now purpose inside of what he created. We go on, it says at the end, there was night and there was day. We go on to day six, where he had just created on day three the land. Now day six, he fills the land with purpose. He says the beasts of the field, right? And he talks about that he had already put the creatures of the sea whenever he'd separated the waters. Right? And what he had created on day one, he fills it with purpose on day four. What he created on day two, he fills it with purpose on day five. What he created on day three, he fills it with purpose on day six. And there was night and there was day. Now check this out on day seven. On day seven, this is so fun. Are y'all ready? Have I lost anybody yet? Hang with me. Day seven. On day seven, it says God rested. We have fallen in love with this because we love to sleep. We love to take a break. We love rest. We love downtime. We love the Sabbath. We should Sabbath, right? And it says that God rested. It never says that it was night and that it was day. For 6 days, he said he did this for the night and for the day. He did this for the night and for the day. He did this for the night and the day. On day seven, he rested. But you didn't mark how long he rested? Because when his work is done, he will enter into his rest. And day seven is a picture of eternal rest. Everything that I have created, I have filled it. It's no longer formless and void. It's no longer tohu vavohu. It now has a form and a structure. And day starts here and night ends here. And it is formed. And it's got purpose and meaning and passion and birds and creatures and light and darkness and all kinds of unbelievable things. I have fulfilled all of creation. And when my work is done, I will have eternal rest. Check this out. Since the part of creation, and we see that the serpent sneaks in on Eve, he created man, right? We see where he also created man. And he pulled him from the dust of the earth, right? Which was seemingly void and empty. And he breathes the breath of God into his lungs. And from his side, he comes this Eve, this beautiful creature of God. And now he feels this deeper connection with the Lord. When the serpent, who was already cast down, is in the garden, he comes and he says, "Did God really tell you that you can't eat from this tree?" I would like to contend for this, that God was so thoughtful of where he wanted his family to live. You ever think about that? Well, I just live here because my parents raised me here. I just lived here because there was a job opportunity. Well, I just lived here because it's some of the lowest cost of living in the country. And those are all okay reasons. But God was a little bit more mindful of, I want to create a garden for my family. I want to create beauty for my family. And I want to encourage all of our men, all of our parents. Be mindful of the area in which you're creating for your family to be grown and developed in. Be mindful of the atmosphere of your home. Be mindful of even the surroundings that we want to be make this beautiful in the best way that we possibly can. I still remember, Aaron, whenever you said, if I'm going to make my bed here, I want to make it as comfy as possible, right? If we're going to double down here, let's make this look like the Garden of Eden. Let's own it, and let's develop it, and let's make it awesome, right? It's more than church services. We're talking about being God here on the planet, right? And so let's be mindful of the garden in which we live as God put us into this garden. And no doubt, even in perfection, the enemy wants to hijack it. And he sneaks in and he asks Eve, did God really tell you that you can't eat from this tree? And God had told him, you can have it all. You can taste of everything. Eat all of the fruit, eat from every tree, except for this one. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to open up your minds to all of this other evil. Just be with me. Just stay with me. Let's just have a relationship. Let's just walk in the garden and play, right? And Eve wasn't able to answer that question. And here's why. Because God never told Eve, you can't eat from that tree. God told Adam. God told Adam, you can't eat from this tree. And I believe one of the first sins was not pride, was not eating from the tree. I believe one of the first sins was Adam didn't pastor his wife well. He didn't teach her what God was saying. He didn't say, God has revealed and he's told me that we shouldn't go here, so I'm going to protect my family. We don't do that. We don't talk that way. We don't act that way. We're going to go this way, Eve, and I'm going to pour into you. I'm going to develop you as your spiritual leader. I'm connected with God, and I want to lead our home this way. Eve didn't know. And she's off and running. And God, who had slain the lamb before the foundations of the world, began to move toward redemption. In verse 2, it says that the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters, right? Hovered over this creation. Immediately we see a redeemer come in the form of Noah. God is so frustrated with sinful men. He says, I'm going to wipe all of them out, but he raises up Noah. There's no one who's as blameless as Noah. He's a righteous man. And wouldn't you know, that as the waters fill the earth, here's this man hovering over the waters, Noah. And he sends out a dove. Y'all remember this? He sends out a dove and he says, go look for life. And the dove flies all over and he looks and he doesn't find anything and he comes back. And Noah has the dove as he's floating and hovering over the waters. The next day he sends the dove out and the dove flies around and he finds this little branch, this twig that represents life. And he brings it back. Is Noah the redeemer? Because all men are wiped out, only to land on firm ground. And Noah gets drunk. Y'all remember the story? Noah gets drunk and his kids find him. He's laying out in the street naked, right? They got to drag him into the tent. Here he is. They're like, nope, we missed it on that one. But there's another redeemer who comes floating on the water, hovering over, and it's this man by the name of Moses. Y'all remember Moses? And Moses was placed into a basket and sent down the waters. And as he's hovering over the waters, he comes into the Egyptian royal family. And the daughter of the Egyptian king picks him up and adopts him into his family. Raises him up as the prince of Egypt. He's going to be the redeemer. He's going to set free the people of God. Let my people go. As he leads them out into the wilderness, only to ultimately not be the redeemer. He gets ticked off. He gets mad at the people. God takes him all the way to the promised land. He's going to lead the people to the promised land, only to get to the front door of the promised land, and God drops him because of a disobedient heart. Surely somebody's going to redeem this. And so the Holy Spirit that's hovering, right, who wants to bring form and purpose to the chaos, to the thing that's empty and void. Y'all remember when Jesus showed up? And Jesus comes and he begins to walk on the water. Y'all remember this? And one of the spiritual sons that he's raising up is Peter. And Peter, who launched the first church, who had that awesome word from the Lord in Acts chapter 2, Jesus comes hovering over the waters. And Peter says, I want to do that too. And Jesus says, come on, let's do this thing. And Peter steps out of the boat, and he begins to walk on the waters. And then he fell, and he wasn't the one. And then there was this Jesus moment where he's being baptized by John the Baptist. Y'all remember this? And as he comes up out of the waters, a dove of the Holy Spirit descends upon him, the Holy Spirit of God. You all remember the time whenever Jesus was sacrificed on the cross, and it says that he will be lifted up. And as he's lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. And he's on the cross, and he's lifted up, literally hanging over creation, hovering over. Here he is again, the Redeemer. That thing that is chaos and broken and destroyed and at war, where the serpent is off and running, here he is. And on either side, he's got thieves, right? And to one, he says, you'll be with me in paradise. He's suspended between heaven and earth, hovering. And there's one more time. Later on in Acts, as he begins to ascend into heaven. And as he is hovering over the earth, he gives the Great Commission. And he says, for you, go into all the earth. Go into all of the cosmos, this thing that I've created, that I have put form and function, and I've put purpose, I have a passion for. I'm now calling you. Go into those places that are broken, that are empty, and that are void, that are tohu vavohu. Don't be disconnected from it. Enter it. Come into it. Be in it. Go into all of the world and preach this gospel. That God has come. That there is a reigner and ruler of your heart that wants to sit on the throne of your heart. That wants to put purpose inside the chaos again. That wants to put structure back into your life. That wants to heal all of the pain, all of the void, all of the emptiness. He wants to come and fill it with some purpose again. And he's calling you unto himself. He is the Redeemer. And where all of these other good things have failed and you were so hopeful, maybe in mom or in dad or in this teacher or in this church. We thought it was maybe Noah. We thought it was this thing. We thought it was Moses. We thought it was all of these other good things that only left us wanting. Jesus says, I'm the one thing that is needed. I'm the one thing that is desired. I'm the one thing that wants to hover over your life. I want to be engaged. I want to be all up in it. I want to come upon you again. And we see as the early church is getting started, as Peter, who walked with Jesus on the water for a moment, releases this message. And it says the Holy Spirit hovered over them like tongues of fire and called out his church to go into all of the world. People, I believe that the Holy Spirit is here this morning. And as we were singing this song, Alyssa was singing this song of all of creation. I'm just like a mess. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. All of creation is groaning as she's singing this thing. And I was just praying, Holy Spirit, would you hover over my life? The parts that are just chaos, man. The parts where my emotions are just formless. I just don't have stability and structure. Where my time is just, what in the world? Whoa. What just happened? Bring some structure, Holy Spirit. Where my relationships are just so empty. Would you hover again over me? Would you redeem it again? Would you restore some purpose into my life again? I believe that Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 set up the whole story. That the Holy Spirit wants to come and hover again. And we try to find these false things that are going to give us some purpose and some meaning. I'm going to fill this void with this relationship, and I'm going to fill this void with this just watching this TV program. And if I can just watch enough Bachelorette, then maybe my romantic life will be good. And right, I'll just fill it. I'm just trying to fill it with something because I don't have it. I've got a God-sized hole in my heart that can only be filled by the one that created it. And I try to fill it with things that just won't suffice. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's whatever. We just try to fill it. Maybe it's just work. And God's saying the Holy Spirit wants to come in and start forming our lives, bringing some health to these areas and restore what the serpent has stolen. The original plan of God was beautiful. It was the garden. It was beautiful. Your hope going into marriage was so beautiful. Your hope having those kids was so honest and awesome. And somewhere along the line, it just got hijacked. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to come and hover again. He wants to hover over our town again. He wants to hover over your home again and start bringing order to the chaos and form and function and purpose and passion again. Not only is he's the creator, he's the orderer of our lives. And perhaps this morning he can do some reorganization. I want to pray for us and have a call of a response inside of your own spirit, even where you're at, but that you would just maybe identify two or three things. God, this is out of order. This is not in order. This is chaotic. This is void and empty. What is your tohu vavohu? What is it? Where you're saying, God, I got to have a purpose here. You got to start organizing and structuring this thing better. Jesus, come and redeem. Hover over me again. So let's just sit here just for 15 seconds and think two, three things. Man, if he began to form this, it would be awesome. If he'd begin to fill that emptiness, man, life could get really good. God, we just come to you, the creator of it all. Oh, we come before you this morning, Lord. And you've created us in this beautiful garden, but something got off. And we believed the lie of the enemy. Somewhere along the line, we just believed the lie. And Lord, I pray that you would heal us. That area that's just chaotic in our lives, Lord, we pray that you would help clean it up. Clean up our emotions. Make us strong and secure. Make us mentally strong where we're just so wishy-washy. Maybe even we suffer from just brokenness and anxiety and just even some mental pain from the past. Lord, we'd pray that you would just come in like a flood and begin to love us up. Heal us, Lord. Those relationships that are just so empty. Lord, we pray for life-giving relationships. Lord, we just pray that you would hover, that tofu, vavohu, hover over and fill, form, purpose and passion. Again, do a work. I just want to hang here, church. I just think that the Holy Spirit wants to just kind of move a little bit. Just hover over us, Lord. Invite him in. Invite him into that dark spot. Jesus, I'm so grateful that you are the Redeemer and you've redeemed it all. And we're so grateful to you. Ah, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.